All right, this is today is the last of the seven consolations, and then we're going to spend the rest of the time between now and Rosh Hashanah on Rosh Hashanah. And this one is very intense. So it's Isaiah 61. Starting in verse 10. And again, this would have been the last reading for the Sabbath before Rosh Hashanah. So we never, as usual, we never do anything right, but this is, hopefully, this will give you an understanding of what was going on. You know, we talked about this expectancy that was happening at the time, because everybody knew the 70 weeks of Daniel were up. And even though they knew the 70 weeks of Daniel were up, only a handful of people recognized it. No one has ever rightly interpreted prophecy before it happens. So all this crap about, it's just goofy. It's because what God does is so totally off the wall from anything that you and I would conceive of, that it, and if it's true on a universal standpoint or a cosmic standpoint, that his ways are totally unexpected from what ours, then stop and see that his ways are also totally unexpected from what you think and what you want. And it has nothing to do with what you or I want. It's the fulfillment of the desire of our heart, but we can't even get within 1,000 yards of the desire of our heart, because the desire of our heart has been prostituted by idolatry. So we're like stupid little kids wanting in a candy store, except we're however old you are, you're still in the candy store. All right. Starting in Isaiah 61, starting in verse 10. I wonder why they didn't start. Let's cheat. In verse 8, let's start in verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up, automatically is what the word is in Hebrew, spring forth before all the nations. What an incredible scripture. And nobody saw it. Nobody sees it still. It's hid from all generations and all ages. Now for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake I will not rest till the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hezibah, and thy land Beulah. Hezibah means, it's the husband saying, my delight is in her. And Beulah is what?
Married.
She that is married. Okay. It's not going to look like that. It may even look like New Orleans. Or New Orleans.
Think about it. You can know about God by the things he's made. This morning, what you said reminds me of what happens after a forest fire. It's good.
Yeah. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hezibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and the land shall be married. Now this isn't like a piece of earth land. This is the new Jerusalem land.
McGee.
There are so many scriptures that say that. It says, all things shall continue by the census as they were, as they have been from the beginning. No flesh shall see it with regard to their senses, but all flesh shall see it with regard to their spirit. Can you stop expecting something after the flesh? Can you live in 100% dependence on God?
For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. You that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and thy sons and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat and praise the Lord, and they that have bought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say you to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Or that's not the right translation. It's just, his work is assured. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Now that doesn't end it. This reading for this day just before. It's like with Deuteronomy, when it was, I mean, second law, and just before, after they'd gone through all of the wilderness, and just before they entered the promise, then Deuteronomy was read in the ears of all the people. And so this next one, it's like, this, all that is great stuff we've just read. Now listen. Maybe for once you will understand and know the fear of God instead of the fear of men. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold.
You gotta hear this. He's looked throughout all of time and space, and there was none. There's not even any to help. Gary, were you reading?
What you just said.
No, you're not reading ahead.
I don't read ahead, by the way. You tried to accuse me of that, but I don't do that.
All right, you got to hear this. It's always the case. Now listen. I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury in it upheld me. Now, his own arm, it's the Zeruah. That's what it means. It's the seed or he's saying his own seed shall do it. That's what the meaning of the virgin birth was. So that remember, the only time in history that the woman had the seed is in the prophecy in Genesis 3 and in Mary, and now in the bride. Because it's the seed, the arm or the seed of God that has given him the victory. And I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring down their strength to the earth. Now, whenever it talks about being drunk like that, he has made the people drunk in their self-seeking. I mean, there's a great article in Harper's, this issue of Harper's, about how America is a Christian nation and they got it wrong. And it's because we aren't feeding the hungry. We aren't caring for the homeless. We aren't doing the things. And so we are, the whole nation is drunk on the wine of self-seeking. And you've got to know by now, you've seen it in yourself, the emptiness of that, the emptiness of concern for tomorrow, the emptiness of concern for yourself. I will mention now the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, the true house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he remembered them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old.
It stops at verse 9. If you want to just read ahead a minute. I'm going to read ahead. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy. And he fought against them. And then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people saying, "Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? That led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name. That led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble. As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord causeth him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake, and the tribes of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while, and our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name." Anybody have any response, any thoughts?
I'm just constantly seeing this thing about in 17, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and hardened our hearts? Like, our hearts are hardened, but God does it. And something earlier about a seed grows, but it's God who causes it to grow. It's like all these causes, it's always God. It's not anything we have control over, though we mistakenly think we have power of some sort. The depth of Him operating in us is comprehension.
That's why I've said, that understanding from the first day that he revealed himself to me is that all he needs is my honesty, my integrity. The idea that I would lie about because I'm trying to make up or act like I'm getting something right. And I'm not saying I haven't done it. I've probably done it a million times. But the point of it is, and this is what John and I have been concentrating on for months now, is this word integrity. The idea that you would be true to what is set before you, what you know. And not sell out for the sake of an alleged need, or sell out for the sake if I say that, I'll be embarrassed, or somebody won't like me. Think of how many times a day that the world sells out to their integrity. And that's what the world does. But it's God help his people if they are selling out. Does it touch anybody?
I found earlier when we just started, a lot of these names of cities and places and concepts, I just don't get. I don't know some of the Beulah and other words that might mean different things. And if I struggle to try and understand the point of the issue, then I can't even come close. The most I can do is be empty or rest.
Or ask.
Or say something. But to hear, I have to be empty.
Right. And the minute you feel unempty, you either have to say something, say the reason you feel unempty, or you have to somehow, by seeing the fruitlessness of going down that path before, you repent from it. So
right.
that you, so either you say something or you empty yourself. There's no in between. Because being anything other than that is no integrity.
Yeah.
Does that communicate?
Yes. That word is pristine, that integrity word. It can't be violated.
That's because we're all, it hits us so hard is because we're all guilty of not being it.
We're all unpristine, yeah.
We like gray. Integrity and zeal and brightness and are all connected.
Yeah. That is the bright light that is constantly convicting us of our sin.
Mr. Asana, anything hit you while we were studying this morning? Since Tom's leaving us to go to the go down to hell.
Go to hell, yeah. It won't be as bad as here. Darlene was
here. It won't be as bad as here.
Yeah, Darlene was telling me this morning that she was at the bank yesterday and heard somebody on a cell phone say, "Yeah, you can only live like Sodom and Gomorrah so long, and God does something about it." And I just, you know, what you said about, you know, when you said that thing about the Magnum is Harper's about America being a Christian nation, there's no country on earth that more closely resembles Sodom and Gomorrah than we do. You know, and we may not mark our money so we can go get it back, but all we're concerned about is, you know, how we get it, you know. And that's what all the political hoo-ha is about, you know. It's about I want some money and some, the federal government's got it, George Bush is keeping me getting it, or, you know, Congress is keeping me getting it. You know, the mayor screwed up, the legislature screwed up. I mean, it's indignation about the suffering, but it really comes down to money, and I want some more. So yeah, I'm going where it's better, maybe, at least for a while.
I'm turn this off a minute. I can't talk about it.
So you take a big guy.
Take a big guy.